Today's shiur is Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Ayin Vav, and we will begin as on Daf Ayin Hey Amud Beis, Beizer Hashem Yisbarach, the third wide line, as we have the schus to be Masayim the Masechta. Tana Abanam, Helekeach Kli Tashmish, Lev Dekhavim, if somebody buys from a Nachri vessels that are used, equipment that's used during a meal, Dvarim Shlem Shtamish Behem, something that has never been used previously, matbilan, the halacha is that they should be put into the mikvah, vein tahirim, and they're fine. Davarim shemishtamesh bahem alidei tzoinin, anything that was used for cold, kigoin, for example, kaisis, cups, vikitonius, drink, things that were used for drinking, tzluchis, plates, the halacha is madichan. The halacha is that you just wash them, and after you wash them, pilon, then you take them to the mikvah, fein tahirim, and they will be fine. However, tvarim shenishtamesh bahem aydei chamim, something that was used for boiling in, kigon hayoyris, pots, vakumkumin, the difference is big pots or small pots, umechamechamim, or the different things that are used to warm up food, daloch is magilam, we boil them out. After we boil them out, hagolam at pilam, we take them to the mikvah, vein tahirim, and then they could be used. Devarim shenem shtamish bahem alidei or, something that was used with direct fire, roasting, grilling, kigoin shpudim, something that's used as a spit, vaskolas, the grill, there, malabim, the halacha is that you have to do libun or matpilam, and you take it to the mikveh v'hein tahirim. The mefarshim asked the question that a kumkin is just used for boiling water. And if a kumkin is only used for just boiling water, why does it need to be kashered? So the answer that they give is that sometimes when they couldn't find anything else to cook in, they were cooking the kumkin. And since if they couldn't find anything else to cook in, they were cook in the kumkum, that's why the kumkum requires kashering. The Rishonim have a very serious debate here. The one thing that the Gemara said is relevant by all cases is that Hagolah is that you have to have tefillas kalim, and then when kashering is required, according to the way the keli is used, that's the type of kashering that's required. The halacha clearly is you should do the kashering first and then the tefillah. The question that the Paiskim, the Rishonim already discuss, is if you reverse the order, if you did the tefillas kalim first, and then you did the kashering, must you repeat the tefillas kalim or not? The opinion of the Ritva and the Rashbam is that you have to repeat it, because they are of the opinion that if you do it afterward, if you do it before you kasher it, they use the famous phrase of Tovu v'sheretz b'yaday. If you're kashering it when it's still, if you're toivling it when it still needs kashering, that ought to be considered Tovu v'sheretz b'yaday. You were supposed to first kasher it. Other Rishonim disagree, and again, as I said, everybody seems to be in agreement that you should do the kashering first. However, if you did it in the reverse order, it will be acceptable b'di'evit. Says the Gemara, the Kulan, all of these kalim shnushtamshbim ashlayatbel v'shlayatbel v'shlayabin, all these kalim that were used prior to doing any of these things, Tani Chada, one brisa says that asur, the food may not be eaten, but Tani Idach, mutter. And then there's another brisa that says that the food may be eaten. And of course, the question the Gemara is posing is, how do we reconcile these two brises? Answers the Gemara Lakasha, as we know that once it's there for 24 hours, and as the Rishonim point out, we know that the rule in Shas is Stam Kalim B'nai any bnei yoyman, or kalim are usually not used within the last 24 hours. So since they weren't typically used within the last 24 hours, any tam that's in there is tam pogum. So according to the mandam that we've been discussing in our masechta, is that nois tam b'gam is asur. So even though you have a tam pogum here, the tam pogum is still asur. And since the tam pogum is still asur, the food that was used in those kalim, the food that was used in those, that was cooked in those kalim will be asur. According to the mandam that says nois tam gam mutter, of course we don't rely on that to use a keli that wasn't kashered, but if it was used, you could eat the food because whatever blia comes out is a nois tam gam. Says the Gemara, well, mandam nois tam gam mutter, ask the Gemara according to the opinion that says the nois tam gam is mutter. So ask the Gemara, we discussed that the Torah has a whole parsha of Geulei Nachrim. The Torah teaches us that if we buy food, that when they took the kalim from the Midyanim, when they went to war, they were instructed that they have to kasher the kalim. But according to this, ask the Gemara, Geulei of the Gechavim, Damar Rechmona, the Torah says we have to kasher the kalim, Heichem Mishkach Sla, where is it necessary? Answers the Gemara, Amrav Chia, Berei, Tafuna, Layasa Torah, what the Torah is speaking about, when the Torah was concerned and required kashering, it was a keli that was used within the last, within 24 hours. The data halacha requires a real kashering. And since there, the Torah requires a real kashering, that's where the Torah told us the parsha of Geulei Nachrim, that kashering is required. Because since it was used in the last 24 hours, whatever tam is in the walls of the kalim, nav nas tam b'gam, who it's not considered nas tam b'gam. But ask the Gemara, mikam ve'elech lishtri. So yes, if the keli was used within the last 24 hours, the halacha would tell us that we have to kasher the keli. But once it wasn't used within the last 24 hours, why is kashering required? Says the Gemara, gzeira, Chazal made a gzeira, that kederish enibas yoyma, that a keli that wasn't used in the last 24 hours, that the tam is tam pogum, should not be used, b'shum kedeir v'ashayma, a gzeira, because you may come to use a keli that was used within the last 24 hours without properly kashering it. V'idach, and the other man domer, why doesn't he agree this for this concern? Says, kedeir v'ashayma nami nifkan pogoma. He holds that even less than 24 hours, it's already pogum. And since within less than 24 hours, it's already pogum, that's why he says you could always be the evid not have to have, you could always be the evid not to have kashering. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, as far as the previous shayla, l'chatchili yesh lahagel kelim, first we should always kash the kelim, v'akach let bilam, this is in Yerodea, Simkov Chav, Aleph Sif Beis, Abba B'dievid, in Medbilam V'achkach Egilam, if you first did the Tfilas Kalim and then you did the Kashering, Metarim. V'sev Shoymrim, Shafil B'dievid, Tzarech Lachzol at Bilam, there are opinions that you do have to go. So the Dagel Mervava makes a very interesting point based on what we just learned in our Gemara. He says that our Gemara clearly differentiated between kalim that were used within the last 24 hours versus kalim that were not used within the last 24 hours. So he wants to suggest that where the kashering that's required is really required midaraisa, that means the keli was used within the last 24 hours, and since it was used within the last 24 hours, it still has a tam, it's not a tam pogum. There, if you did tefillas kalim before, you should repeat the Tfilas Kalim. But in a case where it was where you did not use this Kalim within the last 24 hours. So really, as we just finished learning the Gemara, there is no, this, it's not the same level of obligation to Kasher. It's only, as we're learning, Achiv Derabanan. So there, if we Kasher it before the Tfilas Kalim, it may not be required. Moreover, Ramosha Sternbach in the Shalos Tshuvos for Nehagos, he says the comparison that we mentioned earlier that the Rishonim say it's like Tovel v'sheretz b'yadai is just using the language. It's not really Tovel v'sheretz b'yadai because a keli that wasn't toiveled is not a piece of Isser similar to a sheretz, which is a piece of Isser. One of the things that we learned, and we're going to be spending time in our shiur today discussing, is that we always only want to kasher a kalim, a keli that is with that was not used within the last 24 hours, because we want that the tam that's in this keli should be a tam pogum. And there are two very relevant halachas that the Pesukim discuss based on what we just said. One halacha that they say is that we know that we have to have a tam pogum. So what happens if we have a keli that was used within the last 24 hours, and therefore the tam that's in this keli is not a tam pogum, and we now want to use that keli, and we don't have the time to wait 24 hours to kasher? What can be done? So the Pesukim suggest that what we should do is, this is by keli that we have to do hagolah, because by keli that we have to do libun, there is no requirement to wait 24 hours. Because there, it's not that we're extracting tam from the keli, we're burning what's ever in the keli. Since we are burning what's ever in the keli, there's no need to wait 24 hours. So the halacha that you need to wait 24 hours is only by hagolah. But once we've established that this halacha is only by hagolah, still the halacha tells us that we have to wait 24 hours for it to be pogum. But what we can do is, they suggest, take this pot, fill it up with water and something pogum, fill it up with water and detergent. What you accomplish by doing that is that whatever absorption that keli will now have will be absorption of pogum. It will be absorbing something which is pogum. Since now it will be absorbing something which is pogum, Now afterwards, you could kasher it, even though it was used within the last 24 hours, because all the blia is a blia pogum. One other suggestion, which is a very bechidish, and not everybody agrees, when we speak about kashering, particularly speak about kashering with hagola, the way kashering with hagola is supposed to be done is using using water. If somebody doesn't want to use water to kasher, that's called kashering with mei peiros. And we're going to Mitzvah Shem discuss, can one kasher with mei peiros? But the Pesukim suggests that even according to the opinions that you can't kasher with mei peiros, maybe you could be a little more lenient when you're kashering with something that wasn't used within the last 24 hours. Because since in that case, the entire kashering is only because of this new gzeres chazal, because the tam is a tam pogum, there some Pesukim want to be a little more lenient about not being able to kasher not just with water. But of course, l'chatchila, one should always kasher with water. Another discussion is the Gemara said there's a machlokes. Do we make a gzera that even if the keli wasn't used within the last 24 hours, that we have to kasher it, even though the tam is pogum or not? And the Gemara said the basis is that the opinion that says that we don't have such a rule is because it becomes pogum. This is a very, very important discussion as well. We are learning over and over that only after 24 hours does the keli become pogum. But when we keep on saying that the keli only becomes pogum after 24 hours, how does that work? It doesn't mean at the end of the 24 hours, that's when it becomes pogum. And before that, there is no pegima. What doesn't mean that pegima is a process. And it begins the moment you're no longer using the keli. And every minute it becomes more and more pogum until it reaches the proper amount of pegima when it's at the 24-hour mark. or as we're going to discuss, it may even be just a linus lila overnight. And that's the machlokes and how we would determine if kashering, if the Chazal made the gzera or did not make such a gzera. Says the Gemara, Ramalei, we learned in our Mishnah, Hashud va'ashkala melabim ba'or. Ramalei Rav Amar Amar Rav Sheshes. So he asked, now we just learned in the Mishnah, Hashud va'ashbud va'ashkala shlibim ba'or, that you have to do libun to kashirim. Ask the Gemara va'tanan gabakotshim, ask the Gemara, they constantly were using kalim in the base of Migdash for kachim, that they were cooking the kachim in those kalim. So ask the Gemara, the Tanan, the Mishnah says, regarding kachim, but Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us that gavu kachim, hashud va'askala melag megillim b'chaman. Here we see that hagola is adequate. Amalei, Amram Bri, Rav Shesh said to Rav Amram, who was his son, Mayan kitchen makes a gulav kachavim. How could you compare the two situations? And the Gemara introduces him a new consideration. Hossam, by the kalim that were used for kachim, heterabola, they were used to cook kabanas. And since they were used to cook kabanas, so therefore we could be more lenient regarding the kashering. Hacha, whereas our Mishnah speaking about something that was used by the Nachrim for non-kosher. If it was used by the Nachrim for non-kosher, it's surabala, so requirement for kashering is much more severe. And since it's much more severe, we cannot use that. We have to do a much stronger kashering. Amar Rava says, the Gemara, Kika, Saif Saif, even by the Keli that was used for kachim, Kikapolit, when it will expel the absorption, is surakapolit, because the blia becomes nicer, and since the blia becomes nicer, that's usur. Ela marava mai hagola. What was meant when it said that you do hagola? Tzara shtifa marika. The Gemara, there's a new halacha being taught. The halacha is that you have to completely clean the keli before you kasher it. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rava midami, Rimrika v'shtifa b'tzoynin, Hagola b'chanman. That can't be what it meant. Elom Rav by Yagra l'vreya. One Mishnah complements the other Mishnah. Tana hach liban. Our Mishnah taught us that it requires liban, but v'adin la'agola. It has to have hagola. Tana hasan hagola v'adin liban. There it says, hagola but liban will be effective. So, you need to have but either liban or hagola, says the Gemara. If that's the case, Amalei Rava, if that's what's meant to teach us, im kain, yihachi, listen to kula b'achada, they should be all learned together, that in one Mishnah, whether it's the Mishnah here or the Mishnah Masechet Zvachim, should teach us both halachas. Listen to chada b'idach achrita, and the other Mishnah will teach us one, and Lema Yagar of Leiraya. So the way I understand the Gemara's question is that the way these Mishnais are being taught, it's somewhat misleading. If one Mishnah taught us that you have to have Hagola or Liban, and then the Mishnah, other Mishnah would only say one of them, it would be understandable. Because then we would understand that one Mishnah is telling us, the Halacha, that you, either one, and then the other Mishnah is just referring to the Mishnah that said all the halachas. But if neither Mishnah says all of the halachas, it becomes misleading how to understand what the halach is. Elam Rav Kachim Haina Tamayu. Why by Kachim is Hagola satisfactory and you don't need just to have Libam? Krav Nachman Amar Rav Avud. Amar Rav Kol Yoyim Yoyim Nasa Gil Chaveri. That they constantly were using these kalim in the base of Migdash. And since they were constantly using the kalim in the base of Migdash, so there's never a time that the blia became Isser. Because it was before the blia could become Isser, then it already was reused. And by reusing it, the way the Rishonim explain, by reusing it, there's a lot of heter that is being absorbed, And whatever iser, noiser, is in the walls of those kalim is bottle in the heter that's being reabsorbed. Says the Gemara, Tanach Shlomim. This answer is understandable by Shlomim. Because since the halacha is, the kim of the shnei yomim is achli, the halacha is a carbon shlomim, we have 2 days and one night to eat. So it only becomes noiser after the second day. And therefore, as we just explained, the mekamba did not have a noiser kavagil. Before it becomes noiser, it was kashered. It was by being reused. However, as the Gemara, el chatos, when we speak about a carbon chatos, that the halacha regarding carbon chatos says, kim de yoyim v'laylas akla. You can only eat it for 1 day and one night. So ask the Gemara, kimavashal in the chatos, if you use this keli yesterday for carbon chatos, and today you're using it again, when you use it the next day, so whatever blia is in the walls of this keli is already kapolit, nois the chatos. The chayidna, the pechatos v'shlam lamacha, the whatever blia of yesterday's karma chatos already has become nicer, and that will make that it should be a problem when it gets expelled into today's karma. Answers the Gemara, Amri leitzricha. What they did was the kimavash by chatos edna. If they used this today to cook a karma chatos. So what they immediately did afterwards was hodim avash by idna. They didn't wait for tomorrow. Today, they used it for carbon shlomim. The chatas lamacha or shlomim de esmo. So now, what type of blia do we have in this keli? A blia of yesterday's, a blia of chatas and shlomim. And now when we cook a carbon chatas in it tomorrow, the next day, so we have in it a mixture of the chatas of the next day, which is not yet nicer. We have in it the shlomim of yesterday, which is also not nicer. And b'hadei hadodi kasham zmanayu, the time when it become nicer will be the exact same time, because yesterday's shlomim will only be nicer tonight, and yesterday's chatas and today's chatas will be tonight. And therefore, v'vashu shlomim d'lmacha, and then they'll use that keli tomorrow for shlomim. And like that, they'll always be careful by doing this, that we're going to be kashering the keli before the bliya became nicer. Says the Gemara, if we're being so careful that to prevent that the bliya should never be a nicer bliya, yachi hagol namilei labaya, so why is hagol requiring? We shouldn't have to do any kashering. Says the Mark, indeed, kasher. The Papa Amam, he says the difference why by in our Gemara, Hagola is satisfactory, and in now Gemara, Liban is required, and by Kachim, we need to do just Hagola. High Kara, high Loi Kara. A keli that they use to cook Kachim, since it's in constant use, it never lets the food that gets into it really become nivla. In other words, when you have a keli that was used and then not used, so that gives a chance for the absorption to set in. Here, we don't give a chance for the absorption to set in, and since they don't have an opportunity for the absorption to set in, that's why Hagola is satisfactory. Ravashi goes back to what the Gemara suggested earlier. Lailam Kedamar Mikar. We go back to what the Gemara suggested earlier. Hacha Heteribola. By Kachim, the Bliya was Heter. Hacha, whereas in our Gemara, when you bought the Keli from the Nachri, Isur Bola. Ude Kashaloch, I had a question was, yes, maybe by Kachim, the original Bliya was Hetera, but when we're coming to Kasherit, it already became nicer. Ask the Gemara, the Kokashlach, the question that we asked, that the Idna, the Kapalot, when we're coming to Kasherit, at that point, the Bliya is nicer, and therefore, Isura Kapalot. Answer the Gemara, the Idna, the Kapalot, at the time that the Isra is coming out, that Le'isa, Le'isura, Ba'ayne. What the Gemara is saying is, there's a very big difference if the Isser was once independently identifiable, once versus the case where it was never independently identifiable. When we had the keli that was used to cook food of a nakri, so that used by the nakri, so then the Isser was identifiable, the cooking of the nakri. And since it was identifiable, the halacha will be that you have to have a stronger kashering. Here, when you cooked the kachim in that keli, the kachim were perfectly fine. What happened was that later, those kachim are becoming nicer. But we never had that when the blia took place, it was independently identifiable. And therefore, it's much more lenient. And this discussion is already a big discussion in the Rishonim regarding kashering kalim that are used all year round, and you want to kasher those kalim for Pesach. And the question the Pesach can discuss is a real kasher, can we be more lenient with the kashering? Because the keli that was used all year round for chametz, all year round chametz is perfectly fine. It only becomes an issue after, by Pesach, is chametz is aser. And therefore, there are some Rishonim that suggest that there's room, because the Gemara just said Hatera Bala, the Gemara is lenient when it comes to kashering Hatera, that we can maybe be more lenient in kashering kalim that were used for chametz, not on Pesach, Chas V'Shalom, but were used for chametz all year round, where chametz is not such a serious issue. Others say that chametz is always chametz. The issue, however, is when may you eat chametz and when may you not eat chametz? But it's always chametz. And since it's always chametz, the halacha will require that you have to do a full-fledged kashering on a keli that was used for chametz. The Gemara said that akama malabnan. How much is lib? What is the definition of liban? When have we properly accomplished liban? Amar Rabbani kadesh tasher klipasan. And the outer layer of metal has to shed. That is when we have properly accomplished liban. The Ketz Magilan, what is the definition of liban? Amar of Huna, Yoyrik Tanab Tach Yoyrik Doyla. If we have a smaller pot that became non-kosher, we have to put it into the bigger pot, and that's how we'll boil it out. So ask the Gemara, Yoyrik Doyla Mai. But what happens when you have a very big pot? So when you have a very big pot, how are you going to kasher it? You don't have a bigger pot to put it into. And from here, some Rishonim suggest is a raya that iri klirishin, that just pouring boiling water out of a pot is not a satisfactory kashering. Because if it were a satisfactory kashering, you could always do iri klirishin. Toshma, says the Gemara, who dudu the haver by Rav Kavya? There was a pot, a very big pot, in the home of Rav Kavya. A hadalei, Kedafa Delisha Puma, what they did was they put in a layer of dough on top of the rim of this keli, and then Malyu Maya, and then they filled up this big pot with water, Varsakha, and they built up they boiled up the water, and the water was able to go over the rim of the keli because they had raised the rim by putting on that extra layer of dough. And therefore, the halacha is that would be a good kashering. The Rishonim already asked if all the requirement is just that it should run over, why do you have to put on a layer of dough? Just boil the water to a degree that it will spill over. And some Rishonim indeed suggest that that would be an adequate way of kashering. Although I saw that the Chazon Ish points out that when we speak about kashering, the halacha is kabbalah kach paltai. So since when we speak about kashering, the halacha is kabbalah kach paltai, this pot had the blia, this plat had the blia throughout, and where the rim is only being kashered by being overrun. And the answer is that the rim is never where we cook. And therefore, for kashering the rim, the fact that the boiling water spills over is adequate. Amar Rav Man Chacham La Mevika Milsa, who is such a big Talmid Chacham to come up with this solution. Ilav Rabbi Kivya, if not the Rabbi Kavya, not Rabbi Kavya, the Gavra Rabbi who was a great Talmid Chacham. He says, Kesava Kabbalah Kach Paltai, Ma Balta Benetzoises, that's the way the pat absorbed. A Paltai Benetzoises, that's the way we could do that. That's why it's satisfactory to kasher the pat, to kasher this pat in such a fashion. There are a number of questions, of course, that we still need to discuss when we speak about kashering. One question is that plastic. What is the halacha regarding kashering plastic? As we've been learning in our Gemara, we kasher metal pots with libun or hagola. Question is, can plastic be kashered? Because the question is that, A, we've discussed kli cheres, that we can't kasher earthenware. And the question is plastic, because of the various materials that are used to make plastic, maybe it should have the halacha like earthenware. The Gemara obviously doesn't talk about plastic. On the other hand, the suggestion could be that maybe plastic doesn't have to be kasher at all. There's a very big discussion. What is the halacha regarding glass? Does glass have to be kashered? And the minig is that the Ashkenazim don't require kashering for glass all year. And for Pesach, they consider it that it can't be kashered. Whereas there are the Sfaradim say that it always requires kashering, but it can be kashered for Pesach as well. So the question is, how is glass considered? It's interesting, Rav Moshe was machmer on glass, on plastic, and did not like plastic to be kashered. Other Paiskim are lenient, and perhaps, as we said earlier in our shir, certainly when it's a situation of an Eina Ben Yoima, there's room for leniency. Another question that the Paiskim discuss is that, as we're learning, we have to use boiling water. The way you kasher is with boiling water. So what would be the halacha if I have to kasher something, and the way I boil the water is by putting it into the microwave and make sure that the water comes to a boil? What would be the halacha in such a case? Would that be considered an adequate kashering? And the Paiskim suggest that we keep on learning that the way Hagolah is done is with the water being boiled on the fire. This is not considered being boiled on the fire, and since it's not considered being boiled on the fire, that's why it's not considered, the water that was boiled on fire is not the type of water that can be used for kashering. Another question that the Paiskim discuss is in the manufacture of aluminum foil or in the manufacture of aluminum pans, they smear oil on it. And that oil may not be kosher. And they smear it on without any fire. It's done by friction, by rubbing on it very strongly, these materials. And the question is, if they're not kosher, and now we have a blia of these materials into the keli, how can we use that keli without kashering? And since there's no liquor involved, hagola would be inadequate. What would be required is libun, and which is obviously much more complicated. And not only is it much more complicated, because if what was used, if there's a Teflon coating, the halacha is that you can't do libun on the Teflon coating. It's a chatzitza. So many Paiskim, this is not a new shayla, but many Paiskim suggest that the reason we could be lenient is that this oil that's absorbed is pogum, is very foul tasting. If the original, and we spoke about this earlier in our Masechta, if the original belia was a belia that was pogum, then the halacha is much more lenient. And since here the belia was originally a pogum belia, there is no need for kashering. There are other paiskim that take other approaches. They want to suggest that the process of putting in the oil is in a way that there's no bleis, and therefore there's room, there might be room for leniency in not needing to kasher these pots and pans. We've been learning the concept of kashering, and as we've been learning, the concept behind kashering is kabbalay kach paltay. This is, so many svarim suggest that the concept of kabbalay kach paltay that we use to kasher is a concept that we use for avodas Hashem as well. Just like if somebody has done averis, the attitude and the way somebody chas v'shalom does an avera is very telling on how he has to do tshuva. If you did an avera with much enthusiasm, chas v'shalom, so it's not just enough that you have to do tshuva. Of course you have to do tshuva. But what is really required, besides the need to do tshuva, what's required is that the tshuva should be done with that same type of enthusiasm. The kabbalah kach paltoi, the way the avera rachman tzlan was done, is the way that the tshuva should be done. And that will make our tshuva an effective tshuva. We learned in the Mishnah, hasaka, when we speak about knives, shofa vayhi taira. We clean and it's tahor. So the Gemara explains, amar avoku v'chama, noitza asara pam b'karka, we have to stick it into the ground 10 times. That takes off any possible grease that there is on the knife. Amar avhuna b'reid rav Yeshua, b'karka she'en avuda. In what type of ground do we have to stick it? In karka that was never plowed on. It's hard ground. Amar kahana, b'sakin yofa she'en b'gumus. This halacha that's sticking it into the ground 10 times is satisfactory is only a knife that has no grooves. But a knife that has grooves, the halacha is that is not going to work. Tanya mehachay, sakin yofa she'en b'gumus, a knife that is smooth, that doesn't have any grooves, noyitza asar pam b'kaka, we stick it into the ground 10 times. However, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna b'Reid Yeshua, when will that be satisfactory, and you don't have to go kasher it as well? The halacha is, lecha b'tzani, if you only want to use it for cold. But if you want to use it for hot, then sticking into the ground 10 times would not be adequate. What you have to do is actually kasher it. So from here we see that it's possible to kasher a vessel for only partial use. As we just explained, we're going to be allowed to use it for cold foods and not with hot foods. Rabbeinu Tam says that the same would be in all types of kashering. So for example, we've been speaking about a grill. And the halacha is that a grill, the way, if you need to kasher it, the way to kasher it is with libun. What would be the halacha if you want to use that grill in a way for boiling, only for boiling? Would hagolah be satisfactory? The grill really needs libun, but for the use that you're going to use, then hagolah is satisfactory. Will hagolah be enough, or will you need to do libun? So Rabbeinu Tam says, since for the use that you're going to have from this pot, libun, hagolah is enough, you could do hagolah. When you'll want to use it for roasting or grilling, you're going to have to do libun. The Rosh disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam, says that even though you only want to use it in a boiling fashion, it's possible for the tam that's in this grill to be released into the food, even though if you didn't do libun, and therefore he says that where it's a keli that needs libun, the only thing that will work will be libun. It says the Gemara, Kihadim Ayhudu Bati Batuvi Avyasvi Kamedish for Malka. They were sitting in front of Shvor Malka, who was a Nochri. Aisel Kama Esroiga, and they brought in front of him an Esrig to eat. Pasak Ochel, he cut a slice of this, we're going to eat. Pasak Vahavla Elabuti Ben Tervi, And then he cut another slice and gave it to Bati Batuvi. Then they stuck the knife into the ground 10 times to make the knife kosher. And Pasakavle Lamar Yehuda. And then he gave to make, so Shramalka, the Nachri, was careful that Rav Yehuda should only have a slice of the esrig from a knife that was kosher. Omle Bati Batuvi. So Bati Batuvi said to Shramalka, Vahu Gavrila by Yisrael, who, referring to himself, he says, am I not also Jewish? Omle, Ma Kimle Begave, Ma Loi Kam Bebeve. Rav Yehuda, I know, is very careful about food, eating only kashrus. But you, I don't know that you're so careful about kashrus. And since I don't know that you're so careful about kashrus, that's why I wasn't careful to kash the knife before I used it to slice a piece of the esrig to give you. Says the Gemara, Itkud my Ovid Be'arta. And he said to him, do you remember what you did last night? Apparently, the night before, he had done something inappropriate. And therefore, Shramalka was saying to him, a person who behaves the way you behaved last night, a person that behaves the way you behaved last night, is not a person that I have to be concerned, that I'm concerned will eat kosher. Of course, the Paiskim discuss here a most simple question. Why is this not considered a situation of Lefnei Velisit Mechshol? Just because he did an Aveira doesn't mean that we're allowed to do another Aveira. And the answer is that since B'di'evid, this food would be kosher, so of course somebody who's scrupulous won't rely on B'di'evids. But he was saying to him, I see that you're not so careful in your observance. Since I see that you're not that careful in your observance, I was ready to give you food that is maybe only kosher b'di'evit. Here we're learning the halacha is that when we have a knife that we're going to use for cold, we have to kasher it by sticking it into the ground 10 times. Even though the halacha, that normally we know that a chazaka is accomplished with 3 times. So the Paiskim discuss, why over here is there a requirement to stick it into the ground 10 times? And they want to suggest that the Rizal explains that why do we put out the minig to put out 10 pieces of bread by Bedikas Chametz? And the Rizal says the reason we put out 10 pieces of bread by Bedikas Chametz because there are 10 levels of Tumah. And when Bedikas Chametz, we want to remove all the levels of Tumah. So the same thing over here, they say, when we have a knife that's not kosher and we want to make it kosher, making something kosher is not just a simple physical thing. There's much more to it. It's taking it from Tumah to Tahara. Something that's not kosher is Tameh. And by kashering it, we're making it Tahar. And just like by B'dikas Chametz, we have to take 10 pieces of bread. Here too, we take 10 pieces of bread. Hanulach. I saw that the Chayza explains Hadrulach Hasoicher. There are two different types of people who serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are those that serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu who are Soicher, who are serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amanas L'Kabel Schar. They're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the intent to get reward. And then there are those that serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu Behavas Hashem. They love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and because they love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not Amanas L'Kabel Schar. And we say, Hadron L'Chasoicher, if we will stop serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu just with the expectation of getting Schar, what we will be able to accomplish is that we will Slik Alok Masech Tavayda Zara, will take and will be able to diminish and eliminate Avodah Zarah, and Avodah Zarah doesn't just mean Avodah Zarah bowing down to a statue, but anything that is a foreign to our observance. We will be able, Slikah v'chamasech Avodah Zarah, we'll be able to take the Ra. The Avodah Zarah is the representation of bad in the world. That bad that exists in the world, we will be able to eliminate, and we will be able to have afterwards is just pure avodas Hashem b'toch tshuva shleima, that we should be zeichet to be able to do tshuva l'shem shemayim, tshuva mehava, the highest level of tshuva. And when we will be zeichet to that level of tshuva, we will be zeichet to the zgalas hashchina. We will all see the shchina. We will be zeichet to Mashiach tzadkenu b'heirav yameinu, v'tzadkenu b'tzadik u'b'mishpat b'chesed b'rachmim, m'heirav yameinu. Hanu l'chasoicha, es apayav uslik l'ach m'sachta avodah zarah.